The retirement and IRA show represents the words and views of the show hosts exclusively and should not be construed as investment, legal, or tax advice. All information is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation as to its completeness or accuracy. All economic and performance information is historical in nature and is not indicative of any future results. Any indices mentioned on the show are unmanaged and cannot be invested indirectly. Diversification and asset allocation strategies do not assure profit or protect against loss. Never make any investment or financial decisions based on information offered on this show without first consulting your financial, legal, or tax advisor. Financial planning services offered through Jim Salnier and Associates, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
This is the Retirement and IRA Show coming to you from beautiful Northern Colorado. Join us as certified financial planner Jim Salnier, as well as Colorado State University finance instructor and certified financial planner Chris Stein, teach you about IRAs, 401ks, annuities, Social Security, pension plans, and estate planning in a fun and enjoyable show. Whether you are listening live in Colorado or streaming from their website or iTunes podcast, Jim and Chris want you to know that they're available to help you plan for your retirement. Just visit their website at jimhelps.com. That's Jim, H-E-L-P-S.com. And click the Meet the Team button on the homepage. Now, here's Jim and Chris with today's show.
Well, hello and welcome to the Retirement and IRA Show EDU edition for this week. We're not going to have a continuation of the last couple of EDU shows where we were chatting a little bit about the things that make you go, from most recent Ed Slott training. Today we're going to stay on a kind of a topic that is on people's minds this fine April 1st, 2025, when we are recording this. And if some of you have noticed over the past few weeks, the stock market's been a bit volatile, and it's been a while since we've seen this kind of market behavior. Certainly not the first time nor the last time we'll see something similar, but whenever there's this type of activity, we get bombarded, us and the public, get bombarded by articles talking about things like, I've got a few in front of me here. Boomers are in big trouble if the stock market keeps sliding, and retirement challenges in 2025, market volatility, inflation, and Social Security, or the three biggest fears keeping retirees up at night, and on and on and on. So we're not going to tackle any one particular article, but we thought this would be a good time to chat with you all about kind of our philosophy and approach with regards to taking actions that will allow a retiree, particularly an early retiree in the precarious go-go phase, right? When you're looking forward to going and spending your money doing all the stuff you've been waiting to do until when you retired, and how you might kind of navigate volatility in the markets using our proposed approach. We'll probably mention, you know, other approaches to this. Our approach is not the one and only. And there's plenty of effective approaches to dealing with this. We, of course, like our approach, and we'll chat with you about the characteristics we think are beneficial in our approach. But we just thought this would be a topical topic. And so here we are. So Jim, whenever you're ready, you can hop on in. And
First of all, thank you for taking such a long introduction.
Really? What were you doing?
Well, you not only gave me time to go pour a cup of coffee, I actually had the time to mix my half and half and get it into the cup of coffee, because I mix half and half with half and half, fat-free half and half, if you can follow that.
Why wouldn't you just use milk?
Well, I like half and half.
But you're cutting it, and the difference between half and half and milk is the fat content.
That's why I use fat-free half and half and regular half and half.
Which becomes
mix them
milk,
half
right?
And half. I could do that, but all right, I didn't. Okay. I get fat free half and half and regular half and half. And I mix those two half and halves together to get my version of half and
half. See, folks out there, this is the first time I've ever heard of this behavior from Jim. And I'm as puzzled as you all are. So,
why is that so puzzling to mix fat free half and half with regular half and half?
Because you end up with milk. And it seems like a lot of trouble to just use milk.
Oh, no, no, no. You need half and half. Half and half is much better than milk.
But you're cutting it. You're only using half the fat, so it's half the fat of half and half, which becomes whole milk.
No, no, no. Just let me do it my way. This isn't where I wanted to go. I wanted to thank you for taking a lot of time. So I had time to actually mix my 50-50 half and half, put it in my coffee, and nuke it for an additional 30 seconds and walk back to my computer. That's what I was trying to thank you for. Yeah.
No, it's fine. I'm glad. I didn't realize when you have to mix that many different components together, I can understand why it takes a while. So
normally I have my version of half and half pre-mixed, but I used it this morning when we were having our group meet. We plan as a team, folks. So Tuesday mornings is our group meeting. And I used the last of Jim's half and half. I had the components, but I hadn't pre-mixed them until you started the intro. Gosh, Mike, sorry, folks, for this who's on first, what's on second little introduction.
No, I find it fascinating. I'm sure there's others out there. Now we're going to run out and try it to see what that's all about.
It's better than milk. Even my mom is on board now with half and half in her iced coffee, not milk.
Oh, of course, half and half is better than milk. That's not what I'm claiming. But fat-free half and half. The difference between half and half and milk is the fat content, period.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you take half and half and then cut it with something that's fat-free, you're just reducing the fat to the milk level of fat. So you've got milk.
I see what you're saying. But I'm telling you, it's different. It's got a different whatever. It works for me. Let's move on.
Okay.
Gosh. Hi, folks. This is Jim, apparently the lover of half and half.
Of complicated ways of dairying your coffee.
And you wonder, like I do, how is he still single? I don't know, folks.
Shocking. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there couldn't it be a high maintenance issue, could it?
Maybe now you know why Rachel left me. I don't know. She's not here to defend herself.
Maybe.
I don't know. All righty. Anyways, folks, I am back with a nice cup of coffee. Mm-hmm. And what I kind of wanted to chat about today, and Chris was all on board with it, this is hardly market volatility, but I thought this might be a good time to chat a little bit about the uncertainty in the markets and the volatility. And just you all are do-it-yourselfers. You've been investing for a very long time. You know this is normal. This is perfectly normal. Equities don't just go up. Now, the media, that's why Chris read some, I think you read some of the article names at least. The media loves to get click-throughs. They don't sell newspapers anymore, the above the fold and below the fold headlines that used to sell literal physical newspapers at the newsstand. Instead, they got to catch your attention online with an article that's going to make you get nervous and click it. If the article is everything is fine, life is beautiful, no one's going to click it. But if they make it sound ominous and the world is coming to an end and you've got to get to click this article and see what's going on, then they get the eyeballs, and the eyeballs generates either the subscriptions or the ad sales. So you all know how it works. But I thought this was a good opportunity to say, hey, this volatility, yes, I can preach to you, but I'm preaching to the choir as do-it-yourself investors. You know this is normal, except when you're retired.
Right.
Feels
different. Exactly. Then, yeah.
I've told everybody, on the day you retire, it is going to freak you out. And people who work with us, who might have been podcast listeners prior to working with us, share with me, you prepped us for this, Jim. You say it all the time on your podcast, but I am here to confirm, even me, Mr. and Mrs. Do-It-Yourself Investor for X number of years, we still got freaked out when that paycheck stops. So that's why I kind of want to talk about this. Because remember the opposite episode we did, Chris, several years ago now, where we based it off of a Seinfeld episode, The Opposite. But we tried to point out to people that during retirement, everything that you knew about investing and savings is kind of thrown on its head, if you will, and the opposite now applies. And in an accumulation portfolio, if you're in your 20s and 30s and 40s, and to some of you, even 50s, if you're planning on working into your 60s or even 70, a market correction is truly a buying opportunity. You've heard that euphemism before. Everybody has. It's a buying opportunity. And if you are only putting positive cash flows into your portfolio, if you are only putting money in, yes, a dropping market, assuming the market is dropping for normal reasons and not because it's a zombie apocalypse or something, and you're not buying an individual stock like WorldCom or Pets.com in the 1990s and early 2000s, assuming you're investing in a broadly diversified, well-allocated portfolio or portfolios of ETFs or indexes or whatever you are doing, a normal everyday market correction can be truly a buying opportunity. However, when you're retired, now the opposite comes into play. And a down market, even a benign down market that might show, what was it, Chris, you said the S&P is down year to date? You said it to me earlier today.
I don't have year to date. I had the, just since I knew we were going to talk about this, I went and pulled the S&P from its peak, which it hit its peak on February 19th of this year. So it's not year to date from January 1, because there was some uptick from January into February. S&P is down 8.5% as we record this from its peak in mid February. So we're not quite 8.5%.
Yeah. It's nothing. In the grander scheme of things, this is nothing. You all know that.
But your gut's going to tell you otherwise, right?
But you can often let your emotions rule the day. And that's what I kind of want to chat about and get you to understand why we believe in managing assets for retirees the way we do, how it ties into all the concepts that we cover ad nauseum on the retirement planning side. On the retirement planning side, we talk about minimum dignity floor being covered with a lifetime guaranteed secure income in an effort to help you come up with what we call your fun number. We talk about then taking all that data that you collect during your retirement planning process and apply it to the way you manage your portfolio. And I try to get you to understand that when it comes to asset management, during the accumulation phase, you can have one big portfolio. Literally, if you are like me, a single person with just almost one portfolio, or you can be a household with multiple retirement accounts, but you're truly managing it at the household level of asset allocation. That might reflect a 60-40, 70-30, 80-20, 90-10 allocation between stocks and bonds, whatever you chose. And a lot of you do-it-yourself investors may invest one account a little bit different than the other account, but you make sure that at the household level or the global level, your portfolio is carrying a certain percentage of stocks to bonds. That's perfectly normal during the accumulation phase. And to have this one big murky portfolio, if you will, and let's just say you're moderately aggressive, so you have an 80-20 exposure to stocks and bonds during the accumulation phase. You may have 100% stocks in one of your accounts and only 30% stocks in another, for a variety of reasons, but at the universal global level of your household, you're maintaining an 80-20. That's perfectly okay during the accumulation phase. But in the distribution phase, you truly want to be able to see through your portfolio. Another term that I created, another concept that I want you to understand, I call it the see-through portfolio. Because you are going to freak out when you're retired, because you are no longer exchanging your time in exchange for money, you don't have that peace of mind saying, oh, the market's down, but this is a buying opportunity, I don't need it. And even if we did need a little extra money, I just got to work a few more hours. I can generate a little bit of OT, maybe take a second job. I can get the cash flow the family is going to need. I'm not worried. But in retirement, you start to look at things a little differently. Now you have plenty of time. When you were working, you didn't have a lot of time, personal time, because you were spending it all at work. But you had a lot of cash flow that was independent of market performance. When you retire, you've got plenty of time. There's the whole point of retirement. You want time. You got it. Here's your time. The time is all yours. But what you no longer have is that nice steady cash flow independent of market performance. Now, sticklers will say, well, wait a minute, Jim. You've got your secure income, Social Security, pension, and income annuities if they apply. Absolutely. But that is often not enough cash flow to cover your fund spending. Because if it did, you would be what, Chris, in our parlance?
You'd be a unicorn.
You'd be a unicorn. And they exist. Unicorns in our world exist. They may not be as common as we would like, but unicorns are out there who have lifetime guaranteed secure income that not only covers their minimum dignity floor, is currently covering all the fund spending that they want to do. They do exist, but most of us will not be unicorns. Why I came up with the concept of the see-through portfolio was to deal with periods of market volatility. Not like we're experiencing now, an 8.5% drop. If that's freaking you out, you've got to rethink investing at all. It's 8.5% after, I don't even know, maybe Chris can Google real quickly, what is the S&P up over the last 2 years and 5 years? I guarantee you it's going to be at a level over the last 2 years and the last 5 years that is going to make an 8.5% drop be laughable. But when, and Chris will look at that while I'm talking, but when you are retired, it's understandable. And I've recently spoke to staff about this, that, hey, I've been doing this 25 years, folks. I told my staff, but I'm telling you as well. Expect to perhaps receive some phone calls that are going to be driven more by emotional irrationality than true concern that they might run out of money. Most of the people we work with have several million dollars of investable assets. And we have crunched their numbers ad nauseum with our retirement plans. And we have positioned their assets. But I told staff, we may still get people in times of market volatility. I'll freely admit, we don't get nearly the number of calls that colleagues of mine who do not embrace positioning, but instead use a whole model portfolio approach and trying to withdraw assets on the safe withdrawal rate approach, they tend to get more phone calls because there's no clarity into that portfolio. And people may be seeing that big portfolio dropping 8, 10, 12, 15%, but there's no clarity that shows them the vast majority of the assets that are down 8, 12, 15% are tied to spending you don't need for another 22 years, according to our calculations, making that 22 number up. But follow the concept. A safe withdrawal rate based on one big portfolio that has no see-through characteristics, they tend to get more phone calls. We don't, But we're not immune to phone calls, and Jacob has shared with me that he's received two over the past month. And that's not bad at all. But once he can chat with the people, he feels both of them will be okay. But he also understood and shared with us today that, yes, these are definitely emotionally driven phone calls, and it means he is going to try to revisit the concept of see-through portfolio and to get these particular people to understand which assets are dropping. But your irrationality, your emotions in retirement are really on edge. They truly are more magnified than if you were in your 30s and 40s and still 25 plus years away from retirement. So it's perfectly understandable that even with an 8.5% drop in the S&P, which is only one of dozens of different indexes, people may still have these irrational thoughts. And when you get articles with the headlines, like Chris and I just read, we didn't read those articles. I just wanted the headlines. And just looking at those headlines, they can also cause people to have fear. But I'm hoping as we walk you through this little discussion today, you start to understand the value of the see-through portfolio concept. Did you get, just for giggles, what the S&P is up over the last 2 years and over the last 5 years, even after an 8.5% drop this
year? Yeah, I've got 1 year and 5 year. 1 year is still up 7.5%, even with that drop, right? So it was up, you know, 16, 17, 18% before the decline. And then the 5 year cumulatively, it's up 126%.
Okay. That's what makes this emotionally driven. The other thing that I want to point out, technically speaking, you're not down anything.
Unless you sell.
Yes, but even if you sell, you're not down. In the sense that I want to explain, everybody knows the value of your portfolio, assuming you haven't been irrationally buying and selling. The value of your portfolio is based on the number of shares times the current price of those shares. When an investment drops, Chris, whether it's the S&P, the Dow, the NASDAQ, a well-diversified portfolio of cash, stocks, bonds, alternatives, commodities, whatever, do you still have the same number of shares, assuming you didn't do anything irrational? Do you still own the same number of shares? Have you lost any shares?
No, you have not.
You haven't lost anything, folks. It's just that you said the same number of shares before they dropped as after they dropped. Again, assuming, follow my logic here, assuming you made no irrational trades or you weren't selling on a regular basis to free up money for spending, you technically haven't lost a thing. It's just that you are selling them at a time where you're going to get less than you would have if you sold them earlier. But you haven't lost your shares. So you have the same number of shares. If my house were to drop in value, I might bitch and moan to Chris, gosh, my house used to be worth $1.2 million, Chris. It's now only worth one. But I haven't lost my house. I still have one house. It's just worth less at that moment. But as long as I don't need to sell it at that moment, what the hell does it matter? We all have heard the analogy or the euphemism. I don't think it's analogy or the metaphor. I don't know what the hell it is. What is it, Chris, when I say, if a tree falls in the forest, but nobody is there, did it make a noise? Is that a euphemism, a metaphor, an analogy? What is that? None of the above?
I think that's a mystery.
A mystery. I used to take that saying, folks, and turn it around. I would say if your portfolio dropped in value, but you didn't need the money, does it really matter? And that's what I'm trying to get people to understand. Whenever I hear I lost, I try to tell them you didn't lose a thing. I use this all the time on my niece and nephew. They don't even bother with me anymore on this. But I would tell them to take out your 401k statements. Let me see where you lost. And then I would show them the shares. And I actually point out to them, you actually have more shares. You didn't lose anything. You get the same number of shares. You actually have more shares than you did from this other point in time where you're measuring from. It's just that right now, today, on the date of these statements, not necessarily today, I would tell them, but on the date of these statements, if you sold, that's what you would have got for them. But look at the shares. Oh my God, Uncle Jimmy, you're right. I've got more shares. Exactly. You haven't lost a damn thing. Why are you panicking? So the reason anyone, any retiree would panic right now, it's driven by the fact that they don't have clarity to their portfolio. Or if they do have clarity to their portfolio, they're missing the objective, which is to look at the assets that are dropping and see. So in our example, we use what we call investment positioning, which I call spending segmented investing. A lot of the industry uses what they call bucketing, which is time segmented investing. They're two kissing cousins. I just prefer spending segmented investing because we spend time, no pun intended, helping our clients get a handle of their retirement spending so we can pull those dollars out of their portfolio and say, hey, these are the dollars for food, utilities, transportation, housing, and healthcare. These are the dollars that the older you is going to need for food, utilities, transportation, housing, and healthcare. These are the dollars that you want to put aside for your aging and your buffer. These are the dollars that you need for a guaranteed inheritance because you have maybe a special needs child. Once we pull all that spending out in our approach, Chris, what's left?
Your fund number.
In our example, Chris is 100% correct. What is technically left is the money that you can spend on fun. That's why I call it your fun number. That's it. What we used to do, you all know, if you listen to this podcast for any length of time, I once got the fun number, I'd pull it out, and then I'd throw all that money back into one big black non-transparent portfolio and start managing it for those who hired us to manage their assets. And I would still get this irrational panicking. When they started to see a portfolio drop 8-point-something%, as Chris just referenced. And I would have to go back and tell them, well, no, those assets are really for this spending way back here. And it just dawned on me 4 or 5 years ago, why am I taking all these toys out of the toy box to get that fun number way at the bottom, only to put all the toys back in the toy box or in this? Discussion, all those dollars back into the portfolio, close the lid on the toy box, or in this particular case, now have one dedicated asset allocation for the rest of their assets. Why do I do all that to identify the fund number to tell the people what their fund number is, but then I put the fund number and all the other spending back into this toy box and manage it as one big one. It made no sense. Made sense at the time, but after a while, I realized it didn't make any sense. And I came up with an offshoot of bucketing where I said, I've got all this spending. Let's keep it out. Let's have a bunch of mini portfolios for retirees only. You don't need to do this in the accumulation phase. And the hope was people could see that the dollars earmarked towards minimum dignity floor, again, food, utilities, transportation, housing, and healthcare, the dollars earmarked for minimum dignity floor are truly protected with a degree of principal protection. But dollars, Chris, that are earmarked more for, say, aging, and let's say the people we're working with are 63, just making that number up, most of the time, people will need aging assistance in their 80s, so they're 20 years away. How could those dollars be invested, Chris?
Well, those dollars have a lot more of what we call risk capacity, so they can be invested for growth, you know, as a goal, and they could be invested up to the person's risk tolerance.
Exactly. And the theory is, when you see separate investment positions and the market is dropping, hopefully you're going to see, wow, the dollars that are dropping, so my overall portfolio is worth less. I'm not saying you've lost anything because we get this whole share argument here, but they're just worth less at that particular moment in time. But the theory is, well, gee, yes, the money earmarked for my aging reserve, wow, that's down. I'm just going to make a number up, folks. That's down 7%. But I'm only 63. And I don't really need those dollars, hopefully, until I'm in my 80s. I don't care if they're down 7. I'm not selling them for another 20 years. If a tree falls in the forest and nobody is there, did it make a noise? If your portfolio dropped in value but you don't need the money, does it really matter? The theory is, hopefully, that retiree is not going to panic and instead do what, Chris, when it comes to their fund number, and not irrationally do what?
Well, without this clarity, people tend to tense up and restrict their spending, because not only do they not have that job bringing a salary in anymore, now they see their assets dropping without them even spending. That freaks them out, and they stop, put a pause on the things that they might otherwise do. When you have the fund dollars for early spending in that go-go period positioned in a way that they haven't dropped 7%, and you can point to and say, well, the dollars that are dropping, as you mentioned before, are dollars I don't need for a long period of time, so I should kind of put those on the back shelf and not really think about it. Probably be healthier if I didn't even track their value day to day. Instead, let me focus on the bucket from which I'm actually pulling money to spend on my cruises and my vacations and my, you know, eating out and all the things that I'm enjoying during my go-go phase. Because that bucket, if I've positioned it the way we would propose, has not gone down at all because it's in some form of principal protection. So you can see where, as long as you keep the focus where it's appropriate, that should, doesn't always, should help calm those emotions that you might be feeling from that volatility that you're seeing on some of your dollars. Right? When you put them all in one big portfolio, your brain thinks it's happening to all of your dollars, when in fact, it's not. It's not. So that's why we, you know, think it's a good idea to cut those things up and kind of track them separately.
Exactly. And that's the whole concept behind investment positioning. Now, it's not foolproof, but my entire process, what we call the secure retirement income process, that approach to retirement planning is a combination of the fund number calculation for retirement planning and the see-through portfolio for investment management. Those two combined, they're like peanut butter and jelly. They're like half and half with fat-free half and half. And they go really good together. And that's what we're trying to show. That's what I want you to understand. That if you are panicking, or you know of people who are panicking, first of all, that's perfectly rational. I'm not disputing that. Even if you retire in an up market, you are going to be freaked out because there's no salary anymore. And if you were making $80,000, $100,000, $300,000, $500,000 salary, and all of a sudden that has stopped, that's going to freak anybody out. And I know I'm not immune to that. When I'm holding up my fingers as air quotes because you can't see it. But when I retire someday, for me, that's in air quotes, I think I'll stay related to this firm forever to one degree or another. But I'm not going to run this firm forever. And when I get to that point, I probably will be freaking out as well. And I do this for a living. And even though I will maintain a connection to the firm, be it monetarily as also consultively, that remains to be seen. But I know I won't be immune to it either. I will probably freak out and panic. So it's easy for me to tell you not to, but I also am rational enough to know you're probably going to do the same thing. And I probably will. And I certainly don't want to speak for Chris, but he may at some point in the future as well. So the fact that this is normal, it's important to understand that. What makes it start to be irrational at a point is if you can clearly see the dollars that are dropping, you don't need now. But if you still are panicking on that, there might be a little bit of irrationality built in there. Or it just may be the type of person you are, and one must look totally at the way the assets are. If you can't handle anything, if you don't understand your shares have not dropped, you have the same number of shares. It's just that they're worth less right now if you had to sell them. But you don't have to sell them for another 20 years, hopefully. What's it matter? If that still panics you, maybe you shouldn't be in the markets at all. And instead, you have to reevaluate the situation and how you want to do your allocation. But the hope is, again, if a tree falls in the forest and no one is there to make a noise, if your portfolio fell in value but you don't need it, does it really matter? Hopefully, that sage advice will start sinking in. That's the whole point of investment positioning. Get that clarity. Clarity to me, transparency, clarity are the defining hallmarks of the secure retirement income process. But not only that, we carry that throughout our firm. If you just look at our fee structure, we don't bury things in some abstract AUM fee where nobody knows what the hell they're paying. It varies quarter to quarter if you're being billed quarterly. One quarter you're paying more, next quarter you're paying less. Why? You're paying a dollar amount that you don't even know every year. I have no idea what I'm going to pay my advisor. Depends next year what my portfolio does. That's just, to me, an asinine way to pay for financial planning or investment advice. But the industry runs with that because they make so much money off of it. It's incredibly scalable. They can throw everybody into model portfolios, but tell them to their face that they have some special portfolio where behind the scenes there really isn't. Or better yet, they just outsource the management to someone else who manages it for a separate fee above and beyond the asset under management fee the advisor is giving. It's so scalable, the industry loves it, and it's not going to go anywhere because of that. But I personally don't like it. And I approach fee structure with the same transparency. And I don't want to go down that rabbit hole. And I apologize that I got into it. But my approach to retirement was to just be transparent. If you could see into your portfolio, see into your dollars, that this truly is your fun number. It's not buried with this arbitrary safe withdrawal rate. It's not buried into a portfolio being managed for 60, 40, 80, 20, 70, 30, 40, 60, whatever the breakdown is. And you're just going to withdraw a certain amount of money every year from it. And you're watching that portfolio drop. Yes, that would panic even me. Why? You can't see into it. But if you see into your retirement spending, if you pull the toys out of your toy box, if you pull the spending out of your portfolio, if you understand that this truly is my fun number, then you take that fun number. And Chris, I'll let you take over because this podcast is really being driven by me, and I apologize. Well, one of the things Chris shared with me when I shared with him this whole approach years ago when he came on board is he felt a bigger failure in retirement or risk for most retirees that would actually work with a financial planning firm wasn't running out of money. It was spending too little on what, Chris?
Too little on the enjoyment of life, too little on the fun or discretionary expenses, all because you are fear-driven that, the number one fear people always quote in articles or when you ask them if they're potentially heading into retirement is that fear of running out of money. That's usually how they verbalize it. For different people, it might mean slightly different things, but that's usually how they say it. What's your biggest fear? The fear of outlasting my money. And one way to try to control that is to control spending and spend less. And the less you spend, yes, it should increase the amount of money you have later. But the whole purpose for amassing the money in the first place was to use it, unless you had a goal specifically to not use it and leave it to other people. Some people do have that goal. But for most people, they amassed that money while they were working in hopes to be able to use it once they stopped working. And when they have all that extra time on their hands, the ability, at least from a time standpoint, to do a bunch of things that they may not have been able to do while working, you know, go somewhere for 2 or 3 months at a time, or go out to eat regularly, or have a new, you know, hobbies maybe they gave up when they were younger that they'd like to revisit, or maybe come up with a brand new hobby that they always dreamt of doing, but they didn't have the time to do it. Now they've got the time, and most of those things take some money as well, and they have amassed this money, hopefully, to support those things. But there is a time you will reach as you age where you're unable to do some of those things. So you have kind of a window that opens up, kind of like our tax planning window we refer to. The window opens, you have some opportunity to do some tax strategies, then the window effectively closes. Same thing on your ability to go off and do things and have fun and travel and hobbies that might take some physical effort. And there's a time when you won't be able to do those things or maybe just don't feel like doing them anymore, even if you could physically muster the power to do them. And so you've got to take advantage. You've got to strike while you have the window open. But how can you do that while simultaneously dealing with this fear of running out of money? And so that, you know, that positioning issue and I guess to lay over the top of that as just more burden, if you will, is when the markets become volatile, which is, you know, our euphemism for going down. Nobody complains when markets are volatile going up, right? When they skyrocket upward, no one's complaining about that. But when they're going down, especially after a long period of time where they were generally going up, people get, you know, they get used to that good feeling that seeing their accounts grow. And when they go down, then you've got this another emotional burden to deal with that adds to that fear of running out of money. Oh my gosh, I was starting to feel okay, but now my portfolio's down 8.5% or whatever the number is for you. And so now I'm second guessing, should we really be doing this cruise? Should we be doing these things? Let's wait. And you're wasting that open window, right? That window's going to close at some point. You don't know when, but if you sit there not doing anything as a reaction to this, you're wasting open window time. That go-go period is what we usually call it. So positioning kind of does several things. It allows you to weather the storm when there are periods of market decline because you're going to have money that isn't in the market. And intentionally, with the anticipation you're going to spend initially from those dollars usually. And so you always have this kind of safety area to look to and say, well, gee, this part of my portfolio is down, but this money over here is not down. I can continue with the plan as it was put together, either your own plan as a do-it-yourselfer or maybe a professional that's helped you put one together. And it also is a form of, you know, combating this sequence of returns risk, which is slapping people in the face. Those of you who retired the end of last year, the beginning of this year, are experiencing poor market performance in the early years of retirement. It's the sequence of returns that people dread. It's the time you don't want the market to be going down. It's that precarious point where you've just given up your paycheck, but you, and then you've also got the market going down simultaneously. that's all worrisome. But if you've properly prepared for it, knowing that it could happen, and this is not something we're preaching now because the market's down. This is something we've always been saying, well, not in the recent history, in the past many years, we'll call it, have been saying this. We've been saying something similar for a very long time. The current version of what Jim calls positioning is the latest kind of iteration or version of it. But there's always been an attempt to provide this kind of emotional security and visibility and clarity so that people could continue enjoying their go-go period, that open window period of time when they can do things after retiring. And, you know, positioning just does a very nice job of doing that. And when things are murky and you can't point to this, you're kind of robbing from yourself the comfort you might gain from seeing dollars from what you're spending in the early years that aren't dropping for any other reason than you're spending them, which was the whole intent of having them in the first place. So, you know, that this all goes hand in hand. It's all integrated. It's you know, fingers interlocked, if you will. That putting together a plan with an approach that provides you that clarity can help you deal with instances like this in the market, help you deal with giving up your paycheck, help calm your fears that you're going to run out of money, all those things, and helpfully empower you to spend money in that go-go period, which is a finite period of time. Some people have a long time. Some people have a short time. You don't know who it is. You want to take advantage while you can. So Jim had time to down several cups of coffee during that.
I did not go get any more coffee. I'm still sitting here. Yeah. I was smiling as you were talking because literally I got timestamped 3:25. You took over at 3:29. We're recording this on Tuesday in the afternoon, obviously. Mm-hmm. Here's the headline of the email I just got from Barron's. Stocks suffer worst quarter since 2022. Mm-hmm. And it just made me laugh. Mm-hmm. Because again, the media has to stoke this fear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're just making it worse for everybody by inflaming this, by, you know, not that you should live in denial, but to be just badgered by all of these headlines that come out as the latest thing to worry about can be very unhealthy if you get sucked into that.
And what we don't want, and why I came up with this approach to retirement planning, I told you guys all this. I was a police officer for years, 8 years. And during that 8-year period, I met what I have euphemistically called today the other guy several times a day during my 8-hour shift, 16 hours if I was pulling OT. The other guy is going to be all of us at some point in time. And what always made me scratch my head, I've shared this with you guys, what always made me scratch my head when I was studying financial planning at Boston University, I went to the university to study this. I didn't do it online. They didn't have the online version back then. Went to night school. I worked as a cop during the day, went to night school at night. Is the three-legged stool they drilled into our heads of how great retirement was in the past because of Social Security, pension, and savings. And that now that three-legged stool had been damaged because of 401ks replacing pensions. I always questioned that from the get-go. You all know that. Because I would sit there saying, well, you could actually recreate a pension if you had to through an income annuity. Just never made any sense to me why they never preached that. Instead, they preached that we had to gather assets. So we had to diversify them and invest them. And if clients needed to, they could just do what, Chris, in a down market?
Cut their spending was the answer.
Cut spending. And I was sitting there maybe the day after, coming back from maybe a welfare check call where I sadly found someone passed away in their house, or an auto accident that forever changed the lives of the people in that car, or assisting an ambulance breaking into an apartment where somebody was suffering a heart attack and couldn't get to the door. These all happened during my career. I was coming across the other guy constantly. And even though I was only in my 30s, remember what put my hiney in that seat at Boston University was a woman. You remember, Chris, how old was she? Do you remember?
I remember it. I don't remember exactly how old.
78 years old, the woman I bought strawberries for. It was because of her, my butt was in a seat at Boston University studying financial planning. I had no idea where this was going to lead to, no idea that I was going to create the fun number approach to retirement planning. I just knew I wanted to learn more about retirement. And I knew the best way to do it was to study financial planning. But I used to sit there thinking, seriously, folks, this is your answer? I didn't have the huevos at the time to raise my hand and start questioning the instructor. But I remember sitting there thinking, seriously? You're going to tell somebody who's 63 years old that they can just cut spending? They might not have enough time to spend on fun. That's the concept of the other guy. We know this is going to happen to all of us. We're not immune. And to me, failure to spend on fun, especially early in your retirement, because you don't know how long your go-go phase is. You can guess when you work with Chris and Jake and Keeley, and they help you put a retirement analysis together. Whoever's running the audit call, that's the phone call that they'll have going over all your data, they're going to have a discussion on the length of time you feel your go-go phase may last. But that length of time, and as they say, a nickel wouldn't buy you a cup of tea in China. It's worthless. You can say, oh, it's going to last 12 years. Oh, yeah, it's going to last 4 years. Whatever. It might last 12 days or 4 hours. We don't know. And the last thing I ever wanted, and I remember sitting in BU thinking this long before I became what I have become. I remember thinking, no way in hell am I going to tell someone not to spend on fun? And no way in heck can I even imagine someone who has to cover their food, utilities, transportation, housing, healthcare. I didn't have those categories in my heads. We were calling them back then needs and wants. How could you tell someone you got to cut spending on food? It made no sense to me. And it still doesn't to this day. And it's one of the reasons I don't care for the safe withdrawal rate to retirement plan. There's many, but that's one of them. It unnecessarily curtails spending on fun, especially during a period of time, the go-go phase, that you have no idea how long it's going to last. And to me, it's a failure. If retirees panicked during their go-go phase because of market performance. I'm just trying to get you to understand, in the grander scheme of things, this worst quarter for equities is a laugh when Chris gave the five-year S&P number. It was 100-something percent. I can't remember what it was. What was it again, Chris?
Cumulatively, 124, I think is what it was.
124, and we're complaining that this quarter was the worst since 3 years ago? Seriously? If people were to put off going on a trip, going to see grandkids, in my case, maybe buying a new tractor for my garden, not that I'm looking for a tractor, folks, but I tried to come up with something that had to do with gardening, a big purchase that had to do with gardening. For me to put off doing something that I enjoy because the market, which is out of my control, is down, that's a failure. Because I don't know how long my go-go phase is going to last. I don't know when I will be the other guy. I was almost the other guy, you know, in 2020, November 20th of 2020, when I suffered a massive stroke that should have killed me or paralyzed me. Unfortunately, it did neither. But I came close to being the other guy. And sadly, we meet the other guy, I don't want to say day in and day out, but several times a year. through clients we work with. And that's why I don't want these headlines, and I don't want scare tactics or irrational behavior or thoughts, emotions, keep you from spending on fun. Now, I can't come up with a better way of doing it except isolating your go-go fun number and helping you visualize that. And I don't mean helping you literally where you hire us to manage assets. It's not what I'm saying. Helping you as you design your portfolio as DIYers. If you can just keep that go-go fun number out of the emotions so you don't curtail spending on fun. I don't know where this market's going to end up this year. It's still got three more quarters to go. And it doesn't honestly matter to me one iota. I don't lose an ounce of sleep over it. But I don't want our listeners irrationally cutting spending on fun when they don't have to. And then when they had hoped to do that fun later when the quote-unquote market recovers. Not the number of shares you have. That hasn't changed. It's just that it's now at a price. You feel this rule as well, that you can only sell something at its absolute highest price it ever was, is just silly. I get it, that sequence of return risk, but I'm talking about maybe money earmarked for fun. You got your fun number. And some of your fun number, maybe you didn't do positioning the way we prefer. And some of your fun money is down 2-3%. It would be totally irrational to say, well, I'm not going on this Alaska cruise this year. That fund number reserve was 3% higher, and I'm not going to sell it until I recoup that. By time that happens, maybe you can no longer go. Because as someone who worked in law enforcement, albeit a very short 8 years, I saw a hell of a lot of other guys. And I've never forgotten that. And it carries over immensely into our secure retirement income process. So the intent of today was to add maybe a little bit of sanity. It's the end of the quarter. All of these articles are going to be coming out. I don't want you to panic. And if you haven't created a see-through portfolio, you might want to consider it. I don't get, everybody knows one of the best disinfectants is sunshine. Everybody knows that. One of the best disinfectants to get this irrational emotions out of your head, let some sun shine through your portfolio. Get the concept of the see-through portfolio, the spending segmented investing. Get your positions invested based on their risk capacity, not your risk tolerance, their risk capacity. Target it to the targeted spend, the TSER we call it, targeted spending inflationary rate of each investment position. Acknowledge, okay, these dollars are for this reserve. And the inflationary pressures on that spending, I feel, are X, Y, or Z. You come up with your own. You're a do-it-yourself, or you come up with your own. We have our own that we do our due diligence on and come up with what we feel are reasonable inflationary projections. And that becomes a benchmark, not a benchmark for the rate of return you want to get. You want to get less. You don't want to get less than that. You prefer more than that. But by targeting it to the TSER, the targeted spending inflationary rate, by earmarking or benchmarking that position to that TSER, it's also to help you feel emotionally comfortable. Gee, my TSER for this position is 3.1%. I'm averaging 5. I have some money in a MYGA that's paying 5.8 and some in this that's guaranteed at this rate. I'm beating the targeted spending rate. It's not dropping. I'm fine. My fund number's protected. Let's go have fun. That's what I'm trying to get you guys to do, and not fall victim to this irrational feeling you're going to get when you retire that everybody, including me, will have. And I acknowledge it's irrational, but I'm not going to be able to control it. But I'm hoping through my approach to retirement planning, and my staff will be managing my retirement when I retire myself, and I'm hoping future staff keeps me on pace and on track and gets me, calls me off the ledge. But I also like to think that I'm not even going to ever get to that ledge, because I know enough about this to realize your fun spending is fine, Jim. Go on that elk hunt. Go on that trip. I want to go. This is a new bucket list item for me. I want to go on at least a 30-day tour of Italy, on a historical tour. I've been reading books on the Roman Empire, and I am just enthralled. And I want to go see the Colosseum. I want to see Pompeii. I want to see everything. And there's tours that will do that. Certainly not a tour that I think I'll ever get a woman to be able to go with me on, because she's going to want to be going to the nice restaurants. So I'm like, nah, I want to go crawl through the basement of the Colosseum and see it. But that's now a bucket list item for me that I will do. You think I'm going to put that off because the market is down? You're crazy. You're talking to a man who should be dead or paralyzed. So that's what I'm just trying to get you guys to understand. Chris, why don't you wrap up, because I won't shut up. And it's time that we wrap this up. Why don't you give a nice summary? And thanks, folks, for listening. And I hope you got some value out of this. It's just to try to get you to understand. Ignore the headlines. Manage your retirement appropriately. Position your assets. Find your fund number. Protect your spending positions. And you should be able to get through any. We got three more quarters of the rest of this year. And I don't know how this is going to turn out. Probably going to be very volatile. But it shouldn't derail your retirement at all. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, so that was a good summary. The only thing I'll add to that really is it's not too late. You might be thinking, oh, I should have done this before the market went down. It's not like the market is down an unbelievable amount, right? The market is down from its peak. It's down about to where it was back last November, right? So we're just kind of back to then. Would you have, had you, known what you know now, would you have positioned your assets properly back November? Probably would have. So don't think it's too late and, I'll do it when the market goes back up. That's just, the whole reason you're doing this is to overcome the emotional baggage that's attached to this kind of volatility and your retirement and you're not having a paycheck. You can still do it. So don't think it's too late. I've heard that a number of times from people, and I wanted to put that to bed. So yeah, hopefully this has helped a little bit. If some of you were feeling this way, maybe, contemplate or consider adjusting things on your end to make yourself more, emotionally comfortable in your circumstances. But we'll do our best to keep bringing information to you. Have no idea what the show next week will be, but I will promise you lacking.
And I'll give you a little hint, Chris, neither do I.
Ah, okay. So lacking a, or barring an emergency of some kind, I will promise you there will be a show next week. So thanks a lot for everybody listening in, and stay safe out there. And we'll be back with you next week with a brand new show.
You have listened to Jim on the radio, read his quotes in the media, and enjoyed his banter on iTunes. But even now, you may wonder what sets Jim Salmier and Associates apart from other financial planning companies. The answer is quite simple. Jim's diverse team of professionals specializes in retirement planning. They form a lifelong relationship with you and measure their success not through product sales, but through the security and prosperity you may achieve in your retirement. Jim's entire team shares his unwavering commitment to placing their clients' best interests first while offering their services at fair prices with full disclosures. The professionals at Jim Salmier & Associates are available to assist you with your retirement planning needs. Visit jimhelps.com to schedule your complimentary coffee and a second opinion meeting. That's Jim, HELPS.com. Or call 970-530-5500. 0556.
The Retirement and IRA Show represents the words and views of the show hosts exclusively and should not be construed as investment, legal, or tax advice. All information is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation as to its completeness or accuracy. All economic and performance information is historical in nature and is not indicative of any future results. Any indices mentioned on the show are unmanaged and cannot be invested in directly. Diversification and asset allocation strategies do not assure profit or protect against loss. Never make any investment or financial decisions based on information offered on this show without first consulting your financial, legal, or tax advisor. Financial planning services offered through Jim Salnier and Associates, LLC, a registered investment advisor.